Thank you, we can gather in your precious name, and thank you for the exhortation to come boldly to the throne of grace. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to pray for you personally as well as to intercede for others. And so this morning, Lord, as we look, Lord Jesus, at your magnificent prayer to the Father in John 17, so much here for us. If we are interested in intercession, it is good for us to know how you, as the Son of Man and Son of God, prayed for us, as we would pray for others. And so lead us now in this time, in Jesus' name, amen. 197, let's sing a stanza of this, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed his child, and forever I am. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Well, if you look again this morning, John 17, we're going to go through a few more verses. And I want to look particularly this morning at verses 6 through 10. And just to review the first five verses, which were the prayers, the prayer to the Father for Jesus himself, and then he will pray for his disciples in verses 6 through 19, and a continuation for the future disciples in 20 through 26. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. This morning, if we can just grasp one thing, really, I think it would be an awesome time, really. And that is to recognize that this prayer is specifically for you and for me, even though it was given to the disciples at that time. We are the same as the disciples. The only difference is the timing we came to the Lord. And we will have that prayer for the future believers at the end here in verses 20 through 26. But the thing that strikes me is he is praying for those who are his. And if you are his, and I believe we all are his, this prayer is for you. And so when we think about intercession, how do we pray for others? I think this is such a great example here for us to see how Jesus prays for us. We know in the book of Romans that he tells us he intercedes for us. We know that in the book of Hebrews he tells us he intercedes for us. Over and over he prays for us. And so here he is praying for us in the form of disciples, those who have been given to him by the Father. And he hints at that already in verse 3 and verse 2, where he said, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give to eternal life to as what? Many as you have given him. So here's where we are talking now about those who have been given to the Son by the Father. The first thing we see in verse 6 is, I have manifested. That means to reveal or make known or to show. I have shown your name, I have revealed your name, I have manifested your name, I have made known your name. What does that mean, I have manifested your name? I think we see in the name the very nature of God himself. And so he has revealed to those who have been given to him the very nature of the Father here. He says, I have manifested your name to whom? To the men whom you have given me out of the world. Now the world here is mentioned 18 times in this prayer, or things of the world and so forth. But we will notice today something very interesting to me, in that in verse 9, he is praying for these, he is not praying for the world. This prayer is for the believers, where we're talking about now. It's not for the unbelievers. Now, he's going to cover the world, for particularly verse 7. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also, or verse 20, for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you are, Father, and that the what world may believe that you sent me. So he is not excluding anyone, but he knows who are his, because he knows the end from the beginning. Now, in 1 Timothy 2, we're told to pray for all men, right? And all kings and authority and so forth, because we don't know who have been given to the Son by the Father. But the Son knows, and the Son is praying now for those who have been given to him by the Father. I've magnified your name, I've shown you the very nature of you, to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours, the fathers, you gave them to me, the Son, and they have kept your word. Notice today, as we get into this prayer, how it's a done deal in his sight, in a sense, even though we see in the Gospels his frustration at times, and maybe that's not quite the right word, but his disappointment at times that, you know, oh, you foolish and hard of heart, you faithless generation, why can't you learn? And it would seem like the score isn't very good, right?
Right.
None of them believed that he would actually be resurrected from the dead, right, until it happened. So the score wasn't very good. As I don't think the score for me is very good in terms of being obedient, in terms of doing the full potential that he has for my life. But nevertheless, here, notice what he says to the Father about them. He says what? They have kept your word. Now, as you look at the scriptures where it says, you know, you foolish and little faith, it doesn't sound like they're really keeping his word too well. But here is they've kept your word. I just love that. They have known that all things which you have given me are from you. They are not without faith. They are not without awareness. They have known. This means that they fully understand all things which you've given me are from you. Do you know that? Do you know that all things given to the Son are from the Father? I'm sure you do. He sees us as that, those who know him. And then verse 8, I've given to them the words. I love that. He's taught them. He teaches us. He's given to us the words. The word. He's given that to us, what? Which you have given me. So all things from the Father to the Son. And they have received them. A believer cannot be a believer unless he receives the word. He's got to know the Lord or he can't be a believer, right? Now, there is a question, how well do you know the word? I don't say that you're not a good believer until you know the word, but I say you're a more thorough understanding believer when you know the word, right? They have received the word. He's taught them. He's manifested the name of God, and he has given them the words, and they have received them. And another thing, they've known surely that I came forth from you. A great emphasis here on the fact that the Son is from the Father. Over and over, he stresses that. And so there's the oneness there between the Son and the Father. And there's the necessity of knowing the Son and not the Father only. So they have received them and known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed. They have believed. They've understood. They have faith. They have known what? That you sent me. We must know that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is from the Father. Jesus is God. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray for the believers. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. Isn't that awesome? I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. Now, what he's saying here, I believe, is making it very clear that there's a big distinction between the believers and the unbelievers. He is praying for the believers in this prayer. That means he's praying for you and for me. He's not praying for the unbelievers at this point. Now, we are to pray for the unbelievers because we don't know who are and who aren't, and we're commanded to preach the gospel to all people, right? We're commanded to make disciples of all nations. But he knows the end from the beginning, so he knows at the end who has received him and who hasn't received him. I pray for them, I do not pray for the world, but for those what? For those believers, those whom you have given me. I pray for those whom you have given me. Now, would that not include you? Absolutely. That includes you. Because we believe. So, I'm praying for those whom you've given me, and they are yours. The Lord looks at us as being the Father's. He also looks at them as being His. Because we see they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. The Father and the Son are one, right? Yep. And so, who's the Father's is the Son's, who's the Son's is the Father's, and Jesus is praying here from both directions. He's praying because we're the Father's. He's praying because we're His. All mine are yours, or yours are mine. And then notice this. I am glorified in them. What a magnificent statement to say about believers, that Jesus is glorified in them. He is glorified in your life, whether you know it or not. But I think we can help this along a great deal by how we live and how obedient we are. And whether we're going to bury this gift, like I mentioned last week, I think it was, so deep in the ground that nobody ever sees it, or whether we're going to make it available and aware to others so our light is not hidden under a bushel. But this is the prayer then that Jesus is praying for the believers. Because they're the Father's, because they're His, and He has revealed the nature of God to all believers. He has taught the believers the nature of God, and He's given to them the words which you've given me. That's really past tense there to the disciples that He's been with for the time here on earth. And so we aren't included in this same context in here because we came later. As I walked in this morning, I saw Max reading the Bible over there on the water fountain area where those rocks are, and reading Luke 24, and said, oh, wouldn't that have been great to walk with Jesus on the road to Emmaus? And I said, yes, it really would be, but you know, we have the whole counsel of God. We have the Holy Spirit residing in us 24/7. Those guys on the road to Emmaus, how long would they have been with the Lord? 8 hours? 6 hours? I don't know, 10 hours? And how great it would have been to hear from the Son of God Himself, the Scriptures beginning with Moses and going on through. But I don't know how much you could have retained in 8 hours, but I can guarantee you I can retain a lot more from having a lifetime of studying this Word than I could have in 8 hours sitting under Jesus. So, who's the better off? We're the better off, aren't we? With the whole counsel of God and with the Spirit of God residing in us all the time. Can you imagine that? What the gift we have by having the Holy Spirit in us all the time? When Jesus was here on the earth as a man, He could only be in one place because He was fully man. And if you weren't with Jesus, if you were at the bottom of the Mount of Transfiguration, that would have been a real bummer, wouldn't it? Particularly when these guys come back down with probably a sneer saying, you should have been up there with us and saw what we saw. And you're down here at the bottom trying to get a demon out of a guy and you can't do that. And then Jesus ends up telling you that, oh, ye of little faith, this kind comes out but nothing in prayer and fasting, which to me intimates that maybe they weren't prayer and fasting while He was up on the mountain. But we have the Spirit of God in us and He's given us the whole counsel of God. Isn't that awesome? And He's given us the ability to pray as He prays for us, to come boldly to the throne of grace, in order to obtain mercy and to find help in time of need. So here we are this morning with that opportunity to pray. So we want to pray for the believers, as Jesus did here in this prayer, and we also want to pray for the unbelievers, because we are not given the awareness of who is and who isn't. And we want to pray for the church. We want to give thanksgiving. We want to have much thankfulness in our prayers, right, and praise. And so we've got a lot to be thankful for this morning as well. So may we be led by His Spirit now as we go to prayer. In Jesus' name.